Welcome to the Russell Investments Podcast, where we take a deep dive into the investing world. I'm Sophie Antel-Gilbert, Consulting Director for Russell Investments Advisor and Intermediary Solutions Business, and today we're going to explore active money manager research, what it is, what it takes to be good at it, and how it can help investors. It's an especially pertinent topic these days because of the likelihood of a low return environment in the coming years, as I discussed recently with my colleague Eric Ristabin. As investors face a market that's likely to generate lower returns, many investors and their fiduciaries are loath to give up any potential excess return opportunities. Now, delivering returns that beat the benchmark is precisely the intent of active management. Of course, the key to capitalizing on that is finding those active managers who possess the skill to outperform the market. It's not easy to do, but it can definitely be rewarding if you're successful. To help us understand that world of money manager research and finding those gem active managers and dive deep on this topic, I'm joined in our Seattle studio today by Chris Nelson, one of our senior research analysts for Global Equity. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
It's wonderful to see you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
So maybe we can start, Chris, kind of at the beginning with the basics. What is money manager research? You've been doing it for a while now. You have a good grasp on that. How would you break that down for somebody who's brand new to this topic?
Well, in a very short phase, we are trying to find the best of the best active money managers. And we want to hire them or recommend them so that our clients can use them to reach their investment goals. And so a large part of what I do day in and day out is scouring the globe, really, for good money managers. And we spend time evaluating them both on a quantitative and qualitative basis. We follow a framework as we do that. And ultimately, we want to identify them as higher ranked and make them available to our clients and in our strategies.
So what, you've mentioned the word clients a few times there. Who do you think of as your client?
Well, we have our end clients, of course.
Mm-hmm. So the investors, our products, solutions, and stuff.
Yeah, advisors. We also have large institutional clients. And we have who I would consider to be our internal clients, our PMs who work on the strategies that we manage in-house.
So the actual portfolio managers of those.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the day-to-day work that I do in identifying these managers is designed to label them, right, as the best so that they can be put to work. And we combine them to reach clients' goals in different ways. It depends on the strategy, it depends on the client, and ultimately our input is used across all of those and markets.
So maybe you can dive a little bit deeper here into, one, you're looking for these managers, but one, like, how do you find them? How do you come across them? Do they send you an email? Do you have lists? Do you have people telling you about these managers? And, you know, Chris, you should talk to these people. One, so how do you find them? And two, how do you know whether they're good or not? Like, what makes a money manager a good manager?
Yeah, well, in terms of how we find them, it's all of the above, all the things that you mentioned. I mean, we certainly do have people reaching out, and there are more meetings than we can possibly accommodate sometimes.
So managers actually will contact us?
There are thousands of strategies out there. Sure, they'll contact us. They'll travel to us. We'll travel to them. We also have databases that we can search if we are looking for new products or new strategies. But the vast majority of strategies that are out there, active money manager products, I mean, are ones that we've met with or that we know of, at least tangentially. I mean, it'll be perhaps if there's a new strategy, new money manager, it might be a PM that we've worked with before at a previous firm who's decided to go out and set up his own shop. And he or she might reach out to us because he knows that we are a pool of capital and we represent clients who might want to invest with him or her. So we have a large database of products that we already know. Mm-hmm. Again, they're reaching out to us as their assets.
Yeah.
Exactly. And of course, we're also looking for new products that we may need
to fill a niche in our strategies or that sort of thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And to talk about what makes a good money manager.
Let's get to the heart of it.
Yeah, this is the exciting part, right? Well, Russell Investments has been doing this for more than 40 years. Right?
Okay.
This is a deep institutional skill set. And there's a framework that comes with that that we've developed over time that we believe indicates whether a money manager can outperform over a full market cycle. Okay. And that's really what we're after. It's performance. Mm-hmm. A money manager has to be able to beat the index. We don't expect them to do it in every market over every time period. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the markets will be more favorable to a strategy than mm-hmm. at other times.
I guess sort of depending on their style or
exactly.
their approach.
Exactly. But, for example, growth has been out of favor for the last several years. So it's mm-hmm. been difficult for value managers to outperform broad indices. Mm-hmm. However, the money managers that we rank as higher ranked, the best of the best, tend to outperform their peers. And okay. so we know when value comes into favor, like it did in 4Q of last year, the best money managers are going to outperform and to provide a different performance pattern at that time when we need it. It is about performance. The best money managers do perform well, particularly when the market is in their favor. And the way that we identify that is this experience and this framework that we've mm-hmm. developed. And there are a couple of elements that support the framework. Certainly, we have tools, both mm-hmm. quantitative and qualitative tools. One of the things that I discovered when I arrived at Russell Investments was that we have a database that goes back more than 20 years of qualitative assessments and interview notes from thousands of money manager meetings.
Oh, wow. That we've conducted.
That we've conducted and we've documented. And it's called RADAR, and that's available to all of our research analysts.
What does RADAR stand for? Sorry.
Russell Analysis of Data and Ranks.
Oh, okay.
So RADAR. That is a tool that we absolutely leverage. We're rarely going into a meeting fresh without any information, without any prior information about a manager. We can see how they performed in the past, how they described their process, who's worked for them, who they've worked for, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. Quantitatively, we have a lot of proprietary tools that we can bring to bear when we're analyzing the performance and the holdings of a strategy. Mm-hmm. So we can see whether or not it's performed as we would expect over time, and do the holdings match what they say they do, and have mm-hmm. they made good decisions in buying and selling? Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty extensive. But the last thing that I think that we have that we use in identifying good managers is our people. Our average senior research analyst has 18 years of experience.
Wow. Doing that job.
Not necessarily doing that job.
Or in the investment industry.
In the investment world. I mean, as you know, mm-hmm. I'm relatively new to manager research, but I've spent more than 15 years picking stocks. So I certainly understand the language and what they're trying to do and the pitfalls of it, right? And all of our senior research analysts understand that. And so we bring that insight, mm-hmm. and it comes from years, sometimes decades, of experience and exposure to investment processes, and I think that's something that we have. And it's I was recently reading a story about insight. It was a study, and it's one that's been cited by Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tipping point and Blink.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So this was from Blink, and he was referencing how people develop insight. And it's surprising that sometimes what we know in our subconscious mind isn't always as obvious to our conscious mind. Mm-hmm. But if you're an expert at something, you can get a sense of whether something is good or bad much earlier than what an average person would have. And maybe that's stating the obvious. Yeah. But they did a study where they put red cards and blue cards in front of participants. And the participants were supposed to turn over these cards in order to generate returns. Some okay. of the cards enabled them to win big money, and some of the cards enabled them to or caused them to lose money. Mm-hmm. There were small losses and big losses among the cards. Mm-hmm. So the red cards, though, if they turned over the red cards, they were generally going to lose the game and lose money. If they turned over the blue cards, they were generally going to win the game through consistent increments of gains, right? Mm-hmm. And the participants on average took 80 cards to figure out that if they just turned over the blue cards, they were going to win.
And not touch the red deck at all.
Don't touch the red deck. Just turn over the blue cards. So 80 cards. It typically took a person to recognize that that was the pattern. Mm-hmm. However, in this study, gamblers started to figure it out after about 10 cards.
Oh, wow.
They started to favor the blue and stay away from the red. So obviously, we're not gamblers here at Russell Investments. We have a framework. We have a strategy. But I do think the fact that our research analysts, with the years of experience that they have, and each of us conducting over 100 meetings per year, collectively thousands of meetings that we conduct per year, that adds to an institutional knowledge that's a real advantage.
And presumably, you're also talking amongst each other as you're doing the research. Maybe there's several of you guys in the meetings, sort of live experiencing the interview with the portfolio managers so that you have the opportunity to talk about it afterwards, too.
That can be the case. It is usually the case. And then we also have analysts around the globe who are sometimes analyzing separate products at the same management firm.
Okay.
So, for example,
you can compare notes.
Yeah, so we can compare notes. So my U.S. research colleague might visit a firm 3 weeks after I do, and we're absolutely leveraging each other's knowledge. I'm telling him or her what I learned
from the global team.
From the global team, and then the feedback comes back my way, and so we were able to build knowledge collectively.
Yeah, and sort of get a wholesome picture of the firm and the teams and stuff. That's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So with all of that sort of depth and breadth and experience and access that you have, is it obvious who's good and who's bad? Or are you ever unsure? Is it ever not clear?
Well, I think the most exciting moments are when it is very clear. And I call those the eureka moments. I do walk out of these meetings sometimes very excited about the potential for a manager to play a role in our funds or strategies. And or I will, or just wanting to follow up on the questions that I have.
Yeah.
And there are also times when I've walked out of a meeting, and I know all of the research analysts have felt this way. Walked out very clearly knowing that it's not the right fit for us, or it's not a product in which we would recommend our clients place their money, because we know that what we are doing is helping clients reach their goals. And sometimes this is retirement money. So I think of it as, am I willing to put my retirement money here?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it is very clear and sometimes it's not. And when we're not sure, when it's in the middle, if it's a question of, is this manager good or is this manager great? Well, then we go back to the framework and we apply the tools and we apply the processes and we consult each other and we consult the database and we bring it all together in a very thorough process. Sometimes I think we're like scientists toiling away in a lab trying to find the right solution. And we say, I've got it.
Yes. Yeah. In your lab coats.
Yeah.
So I know that scientists, it takes a long time for them to sort of develop an idea and bring it to fruition. When you're looking at it from a money manager perspective, say, you know, from your first meeting with a manager to potentially recommending them to a higher rank or something, what is there sort of an average time frame that typically takes? Is it a few weeks? Is it a few months? Is it a few days? Or just to give us sort of a sense for how that evolves? And I imagine it varies, but
yeah, it does vary, of course, depending on what our needs are, and sometimes depending on how exciting the product is, to be honest with you. But it typically takes more than a couple of months to go from a fresh start to a final decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
6 months, a year. It's not unusual for us to have spent a dozen hours interviewing not only the lead investor, the portfolio manager, but also every member of their team before reaching a final higher rank or recommendation decision. And leading into that are hours of preparation, as I said, using the tools to analyze the portfolio, assessing what questions we have answers to and what we don't. And then, of course, afterwards, there's the documentation. We have to put that information back into the database so we maintain and build that institutional knowledge. And, of course, then we go through a vetting process.
Internally.
As a senior research analyst, want to recommend a name, a product, then I have to appear in front of a board of my peers and convince them that this is a strategy that belongs either with our clients or in our own strategies.
That's fascinating, because I know that, I mean, there's a number of databases and subscription websites and sort of portals out there that provide a lot of information and quite deep information about many money managers out there today that, you know, many people can gain access to. In your mind, what's different or sort of unique about Russell's approach to money manager research compared to what I could access on these sorts of websites?
Yeah, well, one element, well, I have mentioned a couple elements already. I do think we have processes and tools and people that can bring a really unique and high-level perspective to the process. But It's also important to realize that the information that's out there, to some degree, it is available to everyone and it is commoditized, but it's how you interpret that information. Mm-hmm. For example, if you see that a product has a portfolio manager stated as the leader, and you might see that he or she has been on this strategy for 10 years, and that might give you some comfort about how the product has performed and how if it will continue to perform in the future. But sometimes that information is lagging. That portfolio manager could retire tomorrow. And then is it the same strategy that you had invested in or not? Mm-hmm. Because we practice continual research and continually monitor thousands of strategies, we can typically quickly assess whether or not that has major impact or minor impact to mm-hmm. a future performance pattern. Sometimes we're given a very advanced notice on potential retirements or PMs moving on.
So they'll actually call and tell us, or when we're meeting with them, they'll
exactly.
say, hey, here's my plan.
Yeah, they want to give us a chance to vet the investment strategy and make sure that we are comfortable remaining invested in it, that our clients are comfortable remaining invested in it. Now, usually we've met whoever they're planning to promote as part of our regular due diligence process.
Right.
So we can make that decision quickly. Interestingly, a lot of people think that if you change the leadership of a product, that you should move out of it instantly. We don't think that it has major impact on average. But if you're the client with money in that strategy, you want to know whether or not it's impacting you. You don't care what the average is. You want to know whether or not your strategy is still going to meet your goals. And so those are situations, obviously, we move very quickly in. But again, in terms of what we do different and what I think that we do better, there's a slate of arenas in which I think that we can bring something special to bear.
You've alluded to this a little bit already in terms of Russell Investments is able to provide access to assets to money managers. So presumably that's one of the factors that motivates managers to give us this information and this access to incredible number of people and to information and mm-hmm. portfolio holdings and stuff. Is there anything else that sort of is motivating money managers to talk with us and spend all this time with us and provide this information to us?
Yeah, well, obviously capital is the major reason, but I do think they sometimes view it as free consulting to a degree. We spend a lot of time preparing for those meetings, and I know I take it as a point of pride that I want to keep them on their toes, and I think we all do. We come in, and I have heard many times the managers say at the end of the meeting, you know, Russell Investments research analysts always have the best questions.
Yeah.
So we really push them on their process. They need to reach a very high bar in order to be higher ranked. And so I do think that that's part of it. I also think that they know that we give them an even playing field. We have an open architecture approach. We can hire and work with anyone, really. And we don't have internally managed active strategies that they're competing against.
Okay.
We don't have our own slate of fundamentally managed funds. And so we're able to choose from among the best of the best. And that open platform is a real advantage to our clients.
And maybe sort of feels like a fair playing field from their perspective then,
yeah,
too.
I think so.
Some of the way that you've described manager research now sort of reminds me a little bit of what stock pickers do and how they describe their process and how they describe what they're looking for. You know, they're looking for that company that will outperform and that kind of thing. From your perspective, having done both roles now, what are some of the similarities and what are some of the differences in those roles?
Yeah, I see a lot of similarities, I think, because at the end of the day, it's an investment decision. And we need to figure out whether or not we feel comfortable putting money in that vehicle. When I was picking stocks, it was the same thing. I would go out and I would meet with companies and I would assess their strategies. I would talk to their leaders. So the first question is, do they have a good strategy? And do they have guardrails in place so that they can execute on it? Mm-hmm. And how sustainable is it? And do I trust them with my money, with my client's money? These are the same kinds of questions that we are asking when we go into a meeting with a money manager and we're interviewing them. The research to me is the same. I've always loved research. It's a bit like playing detective. We're trying to figure out what do we know? Mm-hmm. What do we need to know to make a decision? What kinds of questions or analysis can I do that will point me in the right direction? And then at the end of the day, though, you are making decisions with incomplete information. We can't see into the future.
Yeah.
But we try to marshal our evidence so that we can feel our decisions have conviction and have weight behind them.
So when you have done all of this research and you have had these eureka moments, you found the gem, what happens with that? I mean, you bind it in a nice report and you sell it, or you give it to clients, you hope that somebody internally will discover it. What happens to that?
We don't bind it and put it on a shelf. It is something, as I mentioned, that we continually monitor. In sum total, we do thousands of meetings per year, and only about 10% of those strategies that are out there end up with a higher rank. And so we do want to make sure that they continue to fill the role that we expected. We try to take a long-term view. As I mentioned, we are focused on performance over a full market cycle. But markets change. Sometimes managers change. Leadership changes. Style drift is not a common thing, but it does happen. Managers do sometimes alter the way that they invest to try and fit the market. Well, guess what? When the market changes, then they're left behind. Mm-hmm. So we are wary of things like that, and we do, as we said, continue to monitor. What we do with the research, as I mentioned, we have a couple of different sort of client sets, right? Mm-hmm. We have our consultants who support some of our external clients. We have portfolio managers in-house who work on our strategies. And we are in constant conversation with them. Mm-hmm. We talk to them a lot about whether or not a manager is good right now, as opposed to just good over the full market cycle. Is it a manager that we should allocate a little bit more money to because their portfolio looks like it's about ready to bounce back, for example. Mm-hmm. So there's a good feedback loop on that. Mm-hmm. We don't consider our jobs done. And to answer one of your specific questions, we don't sell our ranks. They're not published externally. We tend to keep our processes as much as possible proprietary.
Yeah, sort of the
secret sauce.
We
didn't dig into the framework of the secret sauce. That's
right. Yeah, I didn't think you were going to volunteer very much about that part of it.
Right.
But Chris, thank you so much for your insights into the world of money manager research. This has been so helpful and so insightful, getting to find out, you know, what your and your colleagues' mission is every day and how you achieve that. How do you find those gems among the money managers? And then how do you intelligently integrate them into portfolios for our clients' benefit? And most importantly, as you emphasized, you know, constantly evaluating and reviewing those managers to make sure that they are still a fit to the portfolio and to clients' needs as markets are moving. So I really appreciate you taking the time today and joining us in the studio.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening to the Russell Investments Deep Dive podcast on manager research, which was recorded on October 24th, 2017.